Well, good morning, y'all. Welcome to church this morning. So good to see everybody. And, man, what about this weather? Are you kidding me? It's going to be 80, it says 82 today. Are you kidding? We're still in the winter, right? Welcome to Georgia, y'all, I reckon. Let's continue to worship God this morning with our prayers. Father, we come before you today humbly and in need of your grace. Father, we are praying that the power of your Holy Spirit would fill us afresh. And we ask for your forgiveness in all of the ways that we've wandered so far from your presence. Father, we need your healing and your grace. Father, we're desperate to have our hope restored in you. Thank you for reminding us that you are always faithful, that you are constantly at work on behalf of your children. You are powerful. You are completely drawing us closer to you every moment. Oh, forgive us, Father, for drifting away from you, for being taken in by all that the world has to offer, for allowing other things to become more important in our lives than you. Father, this morning we bring to you these places that we're hurting, the broken pieces that maybe others can't see, but you alone are able to fully understand. Father, you know where we still need to be set free in our lives. And we pray for your healing and power to cover every broken place and to renew our hearts in you again. Help us to live aware, to choose wisely, to stay close to you. Father, to be anchored into your truth. And we thank you for your great love and mercy. Father, we thank you that you are patiently waiting for us to return, that you call us to yourself, and you strengthen us in our weakness. Father, wake us up. Help us to be willing to make a difference in the places where you've called us to be. And we thank you that your mighty power acts on our behalf. Out of your kindness, Father, we ask that you would extend to us your grace and your freedom, that you would cover us with your protection, that you would make us bold with your strength. Father, we ask for an awakening, not only in our lives, but in our churches. We want to be alive for the world around us, and we pray for your help to be faithful to proclaim the gospel, and that all of the enemy's plans will be silenced. We pray, Father, that by your Spirit, you're living and breathing through us, that we would be light and salt and a city on a hill that so desperately needs hope. Father, we pray that you would draw many to know you as their Savior and their Lord. We pray that you would unify your people, and that all believers would stand together in power and in peace. Father, we pray for those this morning that need your presence for healing, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically. Father, you are our Lord, and we ask that you would bring healing. This morning, we pray specifically for Barbara Beach, Gail Biggerstaff, Lance Buchanan, Peggy, Corey, and Casey Bice, Sarah Bice, Kathy Chapman, Jackie Cook, Ted Derriche, Jessica Dominguez, Avery Dye, Michaela Dye, Tracy Franks, Tony Gladden, Joe Guzman, Tom Hadid, Rebecca Hawkins, Bob Hutchins, Cheyenne Jennings, Ed and Kim Johnson, Denise Klein, Buddy and Jean Kohler, Greg Laffin, Aaron Lannon, Barbara Martin, Ken McLean, Cassandra McNeil, Bob and Terry Miller, Dennis Mitchell, Clyde Mobley, Ellen Niles, for Tammy and Joan Norris, Heather Plyler, for Zach Plyler, Satita Purdell, Michelle Redlinger, for Cynthia Rigsby, Declan Roberts, Jake Robertson, for Denise Smith, Susan Soto, and Don Varner, for Latrell Walker and James Warren and Bobby Wood. And Father, this morning we pray for the family of Savory Trinity as they experience grief, and we ask, Father, that you would bring healing in this moment of grief, and Father, that you would bring comfort and joy. Father, we also pray for Tolik and Iona, our missionaries in the Ukraine, and we pray, Father, for their safety, and we pray for your presence to be with them and to be felt by them. May the Ukrainians and the Russians, Father, discover that Jesus is the only true source of power, of peace, of safety, of comfort, of truth, and of freedom. Father, teach us not to hope in governments, elections, or diplomacy, but to trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Father, we pray for the various world leaders that are involved in diplomacy, and Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom. And we thank you, Father, that nothing is impossible with you. Your name, your power, the same power that broke prison chains, that raised the dead, that healed the sick, that parted the seas, your name, that same amazing power is still at work today. And we thank you for your reminders that you are always with us, helping us. And that, Father, you have never lost control, even when things around us feel uncertain. All your plans and your purposes will prevail, for you alone are mighty. So, Father, we believe and trust you to do extraordinary miracles in our lives, in our land, and in our world. Oh, Father, we need you now more than ever. Our times are in your hands, and we love you, oh Lord. Hear us now, Father, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for being here today. I sent out an email earlier this week that Tolik and Iona, and I was going to put up their picture of their family. Tolik has been here with us before, and he's taught. Many of you know him. And he sends out pretty much an update every day of desperation of what's going on in Ukraine. And so I've talked to Mirek, who is our friend and minister in Poland, and they are getting refugees daily by the thousands. They are putting them in the sanctuaries of the churches. They're putting them in the basement of the churches. They're putting them in homes of the members. They're providing diapers and food and all kinds of things to the people that are coming over. And then at night, some of the Polish soldiers are actually crossing over into the border and actually taking up the fight along with the Ukrainians. And so there's a lot going on in our world today. And it goes to show you that the plans of man are always going to be destructive, and it's God who oversees everything. And so we are praying that the hand of God would move mightily in Ukraine and in Russia. There are many in Russia that are caught unaware by all of this stuff, and they're asking for peace as well. We know we're not ever going to have true peace until Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, things are going to change. And so we pray, Jesus, come quickly. But right now, what can we do? So the elders, we have said that we are going to take 10% of our giving. We're going to tithe January and February's giving, and we are sending that to Mirek's church, and Mirek is getting it not only to the people from Ukraine that are coming in, but also getting money to the people in Ukraine. The people in Poland are using the money probably for diapers and food and necessities on how to live. The people in Ukraine are probably using it to buy more ammunition. I don't know. But the point is that we have an opportunity to kind of pour into the country that really needs us right now. And they are crying out desperately that God would reign in their land, but also that there would be help from around the world. So how can you get involved? If you'd like to give a special donation, just write a check to Three Point Bible Church, and in the memo line put Ukraine, and 100% of it will go to Ukraine. And it gives us an opportunity to pour in to people that really need it. I talked to Sam Treadwell, who is our kind of connection with the Gideons. Right before all of this took over, they sent over a bunch of Gideons to Ukraine because they are crying out for Bibles. And the evangelical church in Ukraine actually has been going into Russia and has been spreading the news of the gospel of Christ. And so we want to continue to lift up all of these missionaries that are facing harm and facing, you know, we don't face that. Let's just be honest. I mean, we get upset when someone hurts our feelings, you know. You know, it's like, oh, you Christians, you're narrow-minded. And we go, you know. But, man, these guys are being shot at. These guys are being imprisoned. These guys are being beaten. And it's an opportunity for us to, you know, help the best way we can. And Steve and I were supposed to fly over to Poland in February, but with the unrest that's going on in Ukraine, but also with the COVID started to spike again. But our plans are right now that we'll go to Poland in June or so. And those are still our plans until we hear something different. So how can you get involved? Pray. First off, just pray. Pray that God's will be done. God will show mercy. God will bring healing. God will bring wisdom. God will bring peace. So just pray. And then another way you can get involved is financially as well. So just an opportunity for that. Well, we're at the end of the letter to Colossians. And next week I'm going to start the book of John. And so there's no quick way to get through the book of John, so we'll be in John for about a year or so. But that's okay, because we want to make sure we cover everything from the Gospel of John. So if you've got a New Testament, you can bring it. If you need a Bible, we have Bibles. We'll give you a Bible. We just would love for you to be a part of that. We're going to start the book of John next week. Also, that's all I've got to say about that, except we're in a prayer month of March. We are praying every single day. I'd invite you to go to our website, look at where it says, you know, look up and look out, you know, to pray for the month of March, and it'll give you the days and the times, and it gives you the code on how to get on to Zoom with us. And we just ask that you would be in prayer with our church during this month of March. How many of you got caught up in all of the Georgia football and all of that stuff? Anybody? Yeah, I did. You know, I admit it, I'm a Georgia fan, and all the rest of y'all are liars, I know, because everybody was doing that. Same thing with Atlanta United. Tony and I get together and we'll go watch Atlanta United, and we're watching the game, and one of the things that me and Tony have discovered is we don't know anybody on the team anymore. I mean, they've completely changed the team. If I were to tell you the University of Georgia, it's like, okay, we know who the quarterback is. We know who the running backs are. We know who the receivers are. We know who the big guy, what's his name? Jordan Davis, is that his name? Jordan whatever, big guy. Everybody knows him except me, obviously. But what about the other linemen? What about the other people on the team? What about on the Braves? You know, what about the people that are sitting on the bench ready to come in? Even though they're on the team, they're on a major league team, we don't really know anything about. The problem is we look at the Bible and we look at the main characters. We look at the Davids and the Moses and the Pauls and the Mark and all of these people that are big, and we say, like, wow, these are great people. But what about the people that we don't really spend a lot of time about? Well, we're going to look at some names today, and I bet you for some of you, this is the first time you've heard some of these names. Because I think when we get to a section of the Bible like we're going to look at today, we kind of skip over because it doesn't have anything really important. But I'm going to show you that every single word in the Bible is God-breathed, and it's important. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 4, and I'm going to be in verses 7 through 18, and it's a lot of reading, and so we'll read it in just a minute. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, this is what it says. Mine has a little title on it. It says, Final Greetings. And this is what Paul does. He starts off with a big welcome, like, hey, me, Paul, a servant of Christ and who's in chains. And he gives you his pedigree, and then he breaks into the letter. And now he's doing his final greetings. So this is what he says. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, your faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is also called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. That means the Jews, that these are the only Jewish people there. Among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you always, struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. And so as we look at that, there's a lot of names in there, and it looks like Paul's just winding up his letter. But there are some things I think that we can learn from them. The reason I kind of started off with these no-name people is everybody on a team has a role. Everybody on a team has a position. Everybody on the team has to work just as hard as the first string. Everyone has to work just as hard to stay on the team. Otherwise, you get cut. Some are built to run, some are built to throw, some are built to catch, and some big guys, they're only built to bash each other. But it's important that they do that. Everyone has a role. Here is a list of names, and behind these names, they are real people. Real people. And all of them have something important to do. So here's some observations from these verses that I thought were important. The first thing, all of these people were described as sacrificial or as tough or godly or mission-focused. In other words, they all had a specific role. These are people that traveled around the Mediterranean to help plant churches, to advance the gospel message. It wasn't a nice cruise that, like, Margie and I took around the Mediterranean. You know, that was pretty nice. We're seeing all these beautiful things. For them, this was a dangerous thing. Also, if you told people you were a Christ follower, that was a resume killer. That was a resume killer, y'all. It would get you disowned from your family. It would get you run out of churches. All kinds of stuff. It would cost you status in the community, your family. You may even end up in prison. I mean, look at Paul and Aristarchus and Epaphras. They were all in prison and in chains. The first thing, they were tough. They were people that were committed to do whatever it takes to advance the message of the gospel of Christ. The second thing, each person had a specific role that they played. They were not paid church staff. They worked for their family, and they spread the gospel because of their passion for Jesus. For example, Tychicus was a faithful minister, it says, and a courier and an encourager. Onesimus was a slave to Philemon, and he helped Tychicus. Mark, he taught and gave instruction to the churches. Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus, they were Jews, the only Jews that Paul mentions, and they helped to plant other churches and to teach the churches. Epaphras was a church planter. He was struggling for his people, it says in the Bible. He was struggling in his prayers that they would be mature in the faith. And then Nympha, here's a lady. A woman having a church in her home. So for those of you that think women shouldn't be involved in the gospel, go back and read the important parts of your scripture. Nympha hosted a church in her home. Everyone had a specific role that they were doing to advance the kingdom of God. And all of them, number three, were involved in a common mission. What was the common mission? They were all on point. They were on mission. They were investing in the lives of those around them with the gospel. Paul's letter in 2 Corinthians says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself." And what's our role? "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation." See, we have a goal. We're to get this message of reconciliation out to the world. That is, verse 19, "That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting" who? "Us." Entrusting us the message of reconciliation. See, we have a role. You may not be a Sandra. You may not be a Paul, and that may be a good thing that you're not a Paul. You know? But everybody has a role in the kingdom of God. Everyone is important. Our mission is to proclaim the message of reconciliation. What is the message of reconciliation? Well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So we are dead. We are dead in our sins. We have nothing to come before God with. You're never going to weigh good against bad. You're always going to come out negative. And yet Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ willingly was brutally murdered for us and took our sins upon himself so that we could be reconciled to God, and that is the good news. And he rose from the dead so that we can have victory over death. You know, this world is, and I've said this before, it's not our home. We have a big home, a big house waiting for us somewhere. You know? And when we get there one day, we're going to be on streets of gold and all that stuff, and none of that really matters because we're going to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ himself. And that's what matters. That's the good news. And it doesn't matter if you're the quarterback or the wide receiver or the most important player, all of us can share the message of the gospel. Our mission is to pray that all believers will be mature and stand fully assured to the will of God. That's what he says about Epaphras. He says this, "Struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God." We can pray that. "Well, Paul, I don't know if I can get up in front of people and talk." You don't have to. Pray. Pray. Do it alone. Do it in your closet, but pray. Because we are no longer separated from God. We are no longer separated from God, and we are sent loose into the world to share this gospel message. In fact, what do we do here as Christ followers at 3 Point? What mission are we on? What is our role in the mission? Well, we look at our first point when we came in here. We have 3 points. Love God, love others, make disciples. I'm playing in Godspell this week, and the lady that was introducing everybody before the thing tells you to turn your cell phones off and all this other stuff. She got up and said, "Oh, and we want to thank Paul for being here from 5 Point Bible Church." I'm like, 5 Point? 5 Point? What would the other 2 points be besides love God, love others, and make disciples? What are you going to add to that? You don't need to add anything to that. That's a full-time plan right there. I corrected her, by the way. Sin, death, Jesus, life, loving God, loving others, making disciples. How do we make disciples? Well, some of us are evangelists. You go out and you have no problem sharing the gospel. You look at people like Billy Graham who would just to thousands and thousands of people in stadiums across the world would just read scripture. Would read scripture, but he was built in such a way that this message of hope and everlasting life just permeated everything. Well, we're not all Billy Graham. I don't know if it's our vision or if it's our mission statement. I get those things confused. But we also said that we do this, we will love God, we will love others, and make disciples by, one, inviting others to join us in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not difficult. When you're sitting around having coffee, just say, hey, I just want to tell you about Jesus. You may get shut down, but who knows? That may be the very moment God has ordained for you and has opened a door, and that's what that person needed to hear in that very moment. Don't miss opportunities to invite people to join you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Another thing that we say is that we will live lives submitted to His Word and to the Holy Spirit. There's that word submit again. That means we come down off of our throne and we say, God, you are God. And so I'm going to submit my life and my will to you. And Father, I pray, just like we sang in the song, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Use me. Send me. Another thing is we are becoming people who worship, love, and pray. Our days should be filled with the worship of God. I mean, I was, you know, kidding around about it's going to be 81 degrees or now 82 degrees. Oh, sorry, 83 degrees. Just keeps going up. But, it's like you go outside and it's so beautiful. And what do? We complain about the pollen. We complain about all these other things. It's too hot. This is a beautiful place in which we live. It's what God has created. And so what we do is we want to worship this God. We want to worship our Creator. And we want to love Him with everything that's in us. And we want to love ourselves less. We want to love Him with everything is with us, and then we want to pray. Guys, if we don't have the power of prayer in our church, we might as well close the door, because we're just like banging cymbals and clashing gongs. We're nothing. Becoming people who worship, love, and pray. And then the last thing, we want to impact the world with the gospel. Isn't that the most important thing that Christ has called us to? When He says to go into the world and preach His gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them what you have been taught. Like Paul's team in here in his final greetings, we're a community of believers on mission. Colossians again, verse 17 says this, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. So what is the ministry that you've received from the Lord? This is probably the harder question. We know what we should be doing, but what is your role? What is your role? For some, you haven't started because it costs too much. Maybe it was a financial cost. Maybe it's the cost of the family. Maybe it was a cost to your pride. And so you decided, I'm not ready for this yet. Some people say, my schedule's full. I don't have time. I don't have time to, I'm so busy trying to make ends meet. I'm so busy trying to do this. I don't have time to go out and be a disciple for Christ. Sometimes our mindset is, the church is a building, and so it doesn't matter if I'm there or not, and so the idea is that the church is really just kind of here to meet the needs of the organization that we are, when you think of it that way, that makes each one of you and me a customer. In other words, what am I getting out of this? What can you do for me instead of Christ, what can I do for you? God, how will you use me? I mean, I don't blame anyone for thinking like that. I mean, it's how we're told to live. You go to Starbucks, for example. When you go to Starbucks, you're there to be served. You don't get your light frosted latte, mocha, cream, whatever you put in your Starbucks or whatever. You don't get it the way you want. You complain. This isn't what I ordered. This isn't what I want. Ooh, it's not hot enough. It's too hot. Blah, blah, blah. If you feel you aren't a satisfied customer, what do? Starbucks says, hey, bring it back. We'll make it right, right? Say they keep doing it. What do? You go somewhere else. I'm going to shop around. Church is not a building. Church is not an institution. Church is not a place where we just shop around. The church is the body of Christ. It's a fellowship of believers, and we come together, and we lean on each other. We pray for each other. We pray with each other. We're not trying to entertain anybody. You are a team member with gifts and abilities, talents, resources to help in our mission of advancing the gospel. You walk with a purpose and with a role in your life. Those of you that are missing Wednesday nights and we're learning about changes at Heal, Sandra has emphasized this over and over again. You all have been given a gift. I've been given a gift. And I'm still waiting to find out what my gift is. But I am given a gift, and I know that. But you've been given a gift. So when you say, I don't really have a gift, there's not really anything I could do, stop. God has chosen you and has ordained you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. So where is God calling you to serve? Well, some people, it's what you're good at. You plug in. You know, no matter what you're good at, you can use your talent and skills to help us here in ministry at Three Point. Some people, some of you, you may have a great ministry as far as web design. If you do, we need you because our web needs to be updated. Sandra and I tried to update it, and we erased everything one day. And then now we've kind of started putting stuff back. But we need someone who knows what they're doing. We need more people to run the cameras. We need more people to run the sound and to run the words and to play and sing on the praise team. God has given you talents and gifts. What are they? Maybe you're great with kids. I'm not, but maybe you are. And if you are, we could use you to serve there. Another thing is, what are you passionate about? There are people that were passionate about different ministries, and so small groups were started. Food banks were started. The pregnancy center was started. Missionary work was all started because someone had a passion to get involved in the work of Christ. So what is God telling you? So when you look at the names, Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justice, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nympha, Archippus, you look at these names and you think, like, who are these people? They're us. They're us. They're you and they're me. They're just regular people doing some extraordinary work because of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to get out of the book of Colossians, that we are all called to serve this preeminent Christ. Will you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and to lift you up. And Father, I pray that you would use us mightily. Father, that you would unveil our gifts and our talents and that we would serve you. And that this church would set fire to this world as a revival just sweeps across our nation. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.